How many of you ever look online to a website called Snoops.com? Anybody ever looked at that one? Snoops.com? See a few heads shaking. Yes, I use it occasionally from time to time. How many of you ever received something via an email or maybe Facebook or some sort of communication that says something along the lines of, if you send this to 20 people, you will receive a check in the mail. if you are in Target parking lots at night, make sure you avoid this kind of person or whatever it might be. Those types of things are sent out online, and I used to receive quite a few. I haven't received that many in recent months. But if you receive anything of that nature, there is a website called Snoops.com that you can go to, and they are up to date on anything that's coming out via the Internet or Facebook or whatever it might be, and you can just type in the keywords, and it will bring up a list of things that... Thank you, sir. A list of... just learned that the stop up here does not go all the way across. But it'll bring up a list of what is true or what isn't true, and if there were several things that were similar, then it will tell you about those as well. Some of you may have remembered one that came out a long time ago about the travelers, the traveling salespeople who would get something put in their drink, and then they would end up in a bathtub full of ice. Did anyone hear that? And there's a sign saying, call 911 because we stole your kidneys. So that was one that you can look up on Snoops and find out whether or not it was true. Well, I'm going to read you a couple of things that you can find on the Internet. These are rumors. E-rumors is what they actually call them. And I've used some of these in the past, and I actually looked for newer ones, but these are still on there. So I thought, well, I like these, so I'll use the same examples. But let me just read these to you and see whether or not you've ever heard of this. And then think in your own mind whether or not you believe it's true, what we're talking about. Many of us are aware that at a wedding, there's a tradition of throwing rice at the departed married couple or the departing couple as they are leaving. Some people say that this should be avoided at all costs because the birds eat the rice. It expands in their stomachs, and then they're harmed by it. Some people will even claim that the rice, if the birds eat enough of it, will cause them to explode. Has anyone ever heard that before? Shouldn't throw rice because it'll harm the birds? How many of you believe it's true? It's false. So it's been proven false by a variety of people. The folks at Birders Magazine, Birdwatcher Digest, the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, which is the study of birds, I guess, or the study of birds eating rice, I'm not sure. And the USA Rice Federation all agree rice causes no harm to birds. Now, there are varieties of birds that routinely eat rice in the wild, and they never explode. As one observer put it, if rice caused birds to explode, there would be bird parts all over Asia. So that's one I thought I would use just because many people have heard that, and it's one of those e-rumors that gets sent around on the Internet from time to time. Here's another e-rumor. It's common around the December time period each year for people to warn one another that poinsettia plants are poisonous. Now, has anybody ever heard poinsettia plants are poisonous? Quite a few. I know I have. I've heard that. Some of us haven't. But many of us have. Now, how many of you believe that they're poisonous? I know I heard it quite often when I was a kid at various times. But the truth is they're not poisonous. The American Society of Florists says no other consumer plant has been tested for toxicity more than the poinsettia. The Animal Poison Control Center in Illinois says it regards the poinsettia as having such a low toxicity risk that it doesn't even recommend decontaminating animals that may have ingested them. It says it can possibly cause gastronomical distress if you eat enough of it. But spicy food can do that. It doesn't have to be poinsettia. It says that a child of 50 pounds would have to eat a pound and a half of poinsettia leaves just to exceed the average dose of this sort of toxicity. But that's one of those things that you hear quite often. And many people believe it, whether it's true or not, because it's told enough or they hear it enough and they believe, well, it's got to be true. Now, here's an e-rumor that I've used at times as example because I think this is a good example. It says, wanted for attempted murder. They say this is the actual headline in the AP, actual AP headline. Wanted for attempted murder. Linda Burnett, 23, was visiting her in-laws and while there went to a nearby supermarket to pick up some groceries. Several people noticed her sitting in her car with the windows rolled up, with her eyes closed, and with both hands behind the back of her head. Now, I know my family has heard this before. Has anybody else heard this one before? This e-rumor? Okay, the McKees raised their hand, so they've heard it. One customer who had been at the store for a while became concerned and walked over to the car. He noticed that Linda's eyes were now open and she looked very strange. He asked through the window if she were okay, and she replied that she'd been shot in the back of the head, and had been holding her brains in for over an hour. The man called the paramedics who broke into the car because the doors were locked, and she refused to remove her hands from her head. When they finally got in, they found that Linda had a wad of bread dough on the back of her head. So a Pillsbury biscuit canister had exploded from the heat, making a loud noise that sounded like a gunshot. The wad of dough hit her in back of the head. When she got hit in back of the head, her hands immediately went back there. She felt the dough and was convinced that she'd been shot in back of the head and her brains were coming out. So she sat there for an hour holding what she thought were her brains. She initially passed out but quickly recovered and... it says, and yes, Linda is a blonde. This entire story is false. Now, it did go around as an e-rumor on the Internet at a period of time. But like I said, if you get any of these and you're wondering whether or not there's any validity to them, Snoops.com is a valid source or a website to go to and check it out. But let's say that this did happen, that somebody put a bag of groceries in their back seat, sat down in the driver's seat, and the can of biscuits went boom like that, hit them in the back of the head, and they thought for sure that they were holding their brains when they put their hand back here. So they believe that. They believe they're holding their brains and not a piece of Pillsbury dough biscuit or biscuit dough. Because they believe it, does it make it true? Because somebody believes that a poinsettia is poisonous, does it make it true? Because people believe that birds will eat rice until their stomach is so full that when the rice expands, they will burst from the inside out. Some people believe it. Does it make it true? No, it doesn't make it true. It's not reality. It's not truth. Byron Katie quoted about reality. They said, when you argue with reality, you lose. But only 100% of the time. We were listening to a show that was all about jokes not too long ago, and it was nice to listen to it and to laugh, and they had quite a few from Groucho Marx. And I'm not a big fan of Groucho Marx, but occasionally he says something that I appreciate. And Groucho Marx on reality said this, I'm not crazy about reality, but it's still the only place to get a decent meal. I liked it. And if you were to Google reality or ask, define reality, you will get many multiple sources and you'll get a variety of ideas on what the definition of reality is, which I think is funny because reality is reality, no matter how people want to define it. But some people define it subjectively, meaning that whatever you perceive reality to be, whatever your reality is reality. Other people will define it as objective, meaning that it is the state of what actually is. And there is no perception of reality. Reality is reality. But of course, what we are going to do when we talk about reality is we're going to turn to God's Word. And we're going to look at reality. So let's cover a scripture that we covered in James. Chapter 1. Seems like we spent a long time in the book of James, but now it seems like it was a long time ago that we did. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 18. When we've turned to this verse before, I've talked about how I find it to be an extremely encouraging verse in the Bible. James chapter 1, 18 says, "Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." All right, I have an old King James or a King James Bible. I normally preach from a King James. Mrs. Waddle, do I have my King James Bible there? New King James? Excuse me just a moment. Now I feel privileged. I know I've talked to many of you about trying to find these kind of Bibles before, and you can't find these. And my wife has one that she inherited from her father, and she usually won't let me touch it. Woo! I should do this every week. This is for later. I'm going to show something out of that particular Bible. Let's get back to James 1:18. At least she's listening. She's turned to the right page. All right, thank you. James 1:18, "Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures," or his creation. So it's talking specifically about God. If you go to the verse before where it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Of his own will, of God's own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures or creation. So we see that it is absolutely no mistake that we have truth. It's no mistake. God does it according to his will. So we have the truth because it is God's will. It is God's will that we are first fruits. The word will means desire, and it implies planning and an invocation of will, meaning that it's done with purpose. So God does this with purpose as far as allowing us to have the truth. And truth, according to the Dictionary of Biblical Languages, it says that truth refers to reality, that which is in accord with what really happens. Reality. That's another word for the Greek word of truth that's used there. It means reality. That which is absolutely firm, valid, binding. What is true? It says it signifies what is reality. So God has given us the wonderful blessing of reality. The wonderful blessing of truth that so many people have sought for and look for and have desired. And yet we have truth. And when we talk about truth, it's important to understand we're talking about reality. We're talking about having reality in a world of confusion. Having truth and reality in a world that is covered with a veil, that doesn't understand the mysteries of God. So God has blessed us with truth and reality. Let's also notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In typically when we turn to this chapter and we go through these first few verses, because it talks about the perilous times in the end times, in the last days, and we certainly see all these attitudes that are going about, and we get down to verse 7. It's talking about human beings, humanity, in the end time. It says they are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Same word. So it means reality. So the vast majority of humanity, always learning in knowledge. I was talking to Mr. Jackson beforehand, and we were talking about with all the medical technology that has advanced. And he was talking about some kind of a magnetic thing that they could put by your head, and they have uses for it to help people heal quicker, but they can also control your movements, your body movements, and your speech and things. And so it's incredible the knowledge that humanity has come about. And you probably have heard in the news about the space shuttles getting ready to launch again into outer space, which is pretty an incredible feat. But they're always learning and never able to come to knowledge of the truth, knowledge of reality, the reality that God has given us. So again, in a world of confusion and falsehood, in a world of deception and lies, God has given us insight into reality. God has given us understanding into what is true. Let's go back to John chapter 6 now. John chapter 6. Verse 65. Verse 65 it says, "And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." So we noted that back in the book of James. Once he said this, from that time it says many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Notice what Jesus said in verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So Peter recognized, where else is there? What else is there? Once you have truth, and once you have insight into reality, what else is there? Well, once we have this understanding of the words of eternal life, as Peter puts it, he says, where else would we go? Why would we want to go anywhere else? If God has given us this wonderful truth and this wonderful reality. And so we recognize that we have been blessed in this way. And it's important that we also recognize that we desire to stay on this course, the course of truth and the course of reality. Now, I say that because we know, however you want to word it, that we're in a race, as Paul calls it. We're on a journey. We are living our lives for a purpose, and this race or this journey or this purpose is eternal. So Peter says, you have the words of eternal life. Why would we go anywhere else? Why would we seek out anything else? So we are on this path to eternity, to eternal life. And the reason I make that point at this time in talking about reality and discussing truth is because it's important that on this journey that we put everything in perspective to eternal life. So whatever we deal with in life, and I know some deal with health problems. We see that. We see some deal with financial problems. We see people deal with marital problems. All kinds of things will happen in life. And sometimes, I can tell you for myself and my family, at least with me and my wife this past year, was stressful. And we were under a burden of stress for a period of time. And sometimes it's hard to focus past whatever it is that stress that's compounding or crushing or causing the force of life to come against you as it feels. Sometimes it's hard to see past that. But it's important that we keep reality in perspective, because our reality is eternal. The path that we are on is an eternal path. And so when we have truth and we have reality, it's important that we focus on reality. And that means that you and I, as Christians, we focus on eternity. Our life is based upon eternity. And I know that some of you have heard me say this in counseling as we talk about whatever the situation it is that we may be going through or people are going through. When we think about it, whatever the problem is, the year or so of stress, try to put it in perspective of all eternity. Now, I can think about this for a while, and then finally it kind of gets like the national debt, and my mind can't wrap around it, and I move on to something else. But put this physical life in relationship to all eternity. So God says that we could live 70 years. If you're strong, then maybe you can live longer than that, as we often do today with the different diets and exercise and different things we do to extend our lives. But even, let's say we live to 80 or 85 or 90 or 100. How do we put that in perspective of eternity? Of billions and billions and trillions of years. You know, there will be a time, it's hard for me to comprehend this, where we don't count things by years or months or days or seconds or minutes. So how do we put all this in perspective of eternity? It's important that we do. It's important that we put our lives in perspective of eternity. So as we go through whatever trial, whatever we face in life, always strive to put it in perspective of the truth, perspective of eternity. Let's turn to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 2. There are other verses that we could look at as well that have the same principle. Proverbs 16 verse 2 says, "All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the eternal weighs the spirit," or weighs the heart. Other translations will say, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes." But just because it's right in the eyes of man, does it make it true? Just because it's right in the eyes of man. Well, God says, no, I weigh the spirit or weigh the heart. What's truly inside of the human being? What is their motivation? Or as we talked about before, what is their meat? What drives them? But it's the ways of man, it says, are pure in his own eyes or are right in his own eyes. Now, so human beings decide for themselves what's right or what's wrong. We know the verse that says, "Woe to those who call good evil and evil good," because they're deciding for themselves what they believe is truth or reality. And we know it's not. It's not truth or reality. So it's important that we guard against this, because it's going on all around us in society. Same chapter, verse 25. It says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." So there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So again, it's talking about deciding for ourselves what's right and what's wrong, what's true, what matters, what doesn't matter. So it's important that we keep it in proper perspective, that reality and truth comes from God. And it's important that we cultivate a love for reality. Now, hopefully, some of what I talk about today, you'll be able to think about later as you go through your week or your month, as it may be. And just think about it. As you live your life, are you living reality? Or are you deciding for yourself, as it says in Proverbs and other places, deciding for ourselves what's right in our own eyes? Because it's important that we recognize that truth and reality always comes from God. And every one of us must cultivate a love for truth, a love for reality. So let's keep it in proper perspective. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is our reality, brethren. Verse 18, God says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Eternal Almighty, or says the Lord Almighty. So I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. So again, this is the incredible reality of our existence. Our Creator desires a family. And He has allowed us, through His will and through His mercy, through His grace, through His calling, to have a relationship with Him. And to understand reality. To understand truth. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. So we recognize that our reality is to be sons and daughters of the Eternal, the Almighty. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. So when God gives us His Holy Spirit, and that Spirit unites with the Spirit in men, the Spirit in man that dwells in us, then we see that God grants us, that God imparts to us His very life. Now that we see it's His Holy Spirit, His life essence, His power, and His godliness. So it says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And the corruption is talking about depravity. It's talking about ungodliness. So we can partake of divine nature through the power of God's Spirit and through the blessings of our Creator. We can partake of divine nature. And it makes it possible for us to have a relationship with the Creator, with the Eternal God. It allows us to have that relationship. And then we strive to keep our lives in reality. And again, we must learn to love reality. Each and every one of us must learn to love reality. And what I mean by that is we must learn to love the truth. And talking about keeping life in perspective, there's an example that I very much enjoy reading from time to time. I find it very encouraging. In 2 Kings, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. So we're talking about keeping the perspective of reality in our day-to-day lives. As we go about our lives as Christians, as we go about striving to become more and more like God and like Jesus Christ, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 14. You might remember that we have the example of Elijah and his servant, and the king of Syria was upset because he was certain that there was a spy in his court and that the people were reporting out to Israel. So he kept telling the king of Israel every move he made, so the spy in the court was reporting back to the king of Israel. And so he was very upset, and he sends his army down there to take care of Elijah. And what was happening was God was working through Elijah, and Elijah the prophet was telling the king of Israel what was going on or what was going to happen. But he was convinced that there was a spy in his court, and so he sends his army down. In verse 14, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' And Elijah answers him, verse 16, so he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elijah prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Eternal opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elijah prayed to the Eternal and said, 'Strike this people, I pray, with blindness.' And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah." So what we see in this situation is that Elijah was able to understand the reality of God being there, being involved, having his angels around there to protect them. And he was also willing to submit to God's will, whatever the situation might be. When we go through bad times or go through trials, we should never think that God has left us. God is still there and still working with us and still working through us. But it's important that we keep the reality of eternity in mind, that we recognize the reality of it, that we recognize that God is there, and that there is a spirit world and there is eternity. And God certainly recognizes what we are dealing with and what we are going through. So as we go through it, it's extremely important that we keep reality in perspective. So I kind of tried to rush through my sermon there, but the point I wanted to make through it is that we have truth and we have reality. And we should keep our lives in perspective of this reality. Because all around us in society, as I mentioned, the disruption, the confusion, the chaos, it's not reality. It's not true. And the world has a veil covering it. And it is confused. And we can have truth, and we must learn to cherish it and to love it.